This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
And last night, the Melbourne International Film Festival launched their 2023 program. And for 18 days in August, you'll have the chance to see up to 267 films as MIFF welcomes audiences back to the cinema for another year.
With an extraordinary selection of features, shorts, restorations and works from all around the world, this morning we are grabbing the popcorn and finding out all the MIFF goss from the festival's head programmer, Kate Fitzpatrick, as we dive into this year's program. Kate, thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Now, let's start with some of the big announcements. It's always interesting to see what's topping and tailing the festival. What are the opening and closing night gala films this year?
Sure. Our opening night film is very exciting. It's a Premier Fund supported Australian film locally made called Shader by Neera Nisari. And it's a really beautiful, poetic film about a very important subject. It's quite somber subject matter. It's a woman who's fleeing an unhealthy marriage, but she's also a refugee. So there's a whole lot of layers there with really fantastic central performances, and it's going to be a beautiful, very homegrown opening night, which is great. And our closing night gala, we're really going out with a lot of fun, a lot of singing and dancing.
Ooh. Love that.
Yes, it's the Australian premiere of Theatre Camp, which if you get a chance, have a look at the trailer. It gives you a great flavour of this really kind of fun, anarchic, all singing, all dancing chaos of Theatre Camp.
Great. Yeah. Oh, that sounds right up our alley.
That absolutely sounds like something I'm going to have to grab a ticket for.
Absolutely.
Now, I was having a look at the program and wow, there's so much on offer from all around the world, but it does include some great Aussie content that brings local flavour to audiences. So what are some of the great Aussie films that are being featured in the program this year?
We've got some terrific Australian films. Another Premier Fund supported documentary called This Is Going to Be Big, about a school of neurodiverse students who are putting on, they're all getting ready to put on a fantastic time-travelling John Farnham musical.
Oh, wow.
It's just the most beautiful film. The film kind of focuses on a few of the kids and follows their journey throughout their auditions and what they're hoping to achieve. And it's a beautiful film with, you know, some really great singing and dancing as well.
Oh, wow.
Huge.
There's some other great Australian films. Bird Eater's a really fantastic kind of look at toxic masculinity, this kind of bachelor party that goes wrong, where quite, ill-advisedly his fiancée decides to come to the party.
Oh, so you never can see. Do that.
Exactly. It's doomed from the start, really. And a fantastic local queer film called Sunflower, about a boy who's coming to terms with his sexuality and finds himself attracted to his best friend.
Oh, cute. That's a good one for us.
We love the queerness.
You're also showcasing the Bright Horizons program, where up-and-coming filmmakers can take home a pretty huge prize. Can you tell us about this awesome opportunity with MIFF?
Yeah, it's a competition that we started just last year. That was our first year. It is one of the top prizes in the world, I think, in terms of the monetary prize. And it's open to first and second time feature filmmakers. So there's a really great mix of films from different parts of the world, different kinds of genres of film as well. Like, there's some sci-fi in there, there's some dramas. It's a really great mix of films.
I mean, I think what's exciting with the Melbourne International Film Festival is that's what you get. Like, there's so much diversity and so much on offer. It can be really hard to pick which way you want to go, but there's something that I always love every single year. I love the shorts program in any film festival, but because you get bite-sized bits of cinema as you go along, which is very cool, but I actually love the WTF shorts at MIFF. It always blows me away every single time because you get the most craziest short things thrown thrown together that you wouldn't find anywhere else. What can we expect from the Shorts program this year?
Well, I love that you say that too, and I love that you're interested in the Shorts because it's such a great opportunity to see short films in cinema. It's not something that, you know, you get to do very often anymore. They don't show shorts before features at the cinema anymore.
Wouldn't it be great if they did?
They used to many years ago. They should do it again. And WTF definitely has a built-in audience. Like, I think people really are drawn to that program. I unfortunately don't know a lot about the Shorts program, but there's an auteurs-focused package which features, like, probably the most talked-about short film this year, Pedro Almodovar's Strange Way of Life with Ethan Hawke and Pedro Pascal.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the program, you're not going to miss it because the picture is right there.
Yeah.
And I reckon that's going to sell out. I mean, it's been talked about so much.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's going to absolutely sell out, which means you should get your tickets is what we're saying, basically.
Yes, get there now.
Out of curiosity, how long do the shorts standardly go for minute-wise? Like each short?
Well, that's really like how long is a piece of string?
Well,
like,
yeah. The short
film
I was thinking.
Can be anything from like 3 minutes to 40 minutes. So,
oh, wow, yeah, okay.
They're quite, big parameters. I mean, obviously a 40-minute short is a bit harder to kind of fit into a package, but it's not unheard of.
Yeah, there you go. We are speaking with Kate Fitzpatrick from MIFF, the Melbourne International Film Festival.
Not Miff Warhurst. Not Miff Warhurst, right?
Absolutely not.
We love the association.
Yes, we'll be right back after this. You're on Joy Breakfast. Joy. It's 3 minutes to eight. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. We are talking all things Melbourne International Film Festival with the program director, Kate Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. Now, I am very curious, how do you remember all of these films and what they're about?
Well, that's a really great question. This is why I have my program with me now, just to, you know, refresh my memory. I mean, some of these films I've seen a really long time ago, like as late as September last year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's just a case of continuing the conversation, constantly talking about it with your colleagues. And, yeah, I mean, these films make a great impression. That's why they're in the program.
So does everyone who works at MIFF get together and watch the films together, or do you take them home? Like, how do you get to view them all as they come through?
Sadly, that would be a really great thing to be able to do, but in terms of the number of films that we have to consider every year.
Like, I mean, there's a lot in the program as it is, so
exactly.
Imagine how many you're actually seeing.
Well, this is the thing. You say we have 267 films. We probably, in terms of our submissions, we'd consider over 4,000 films.
Oh, my God.
So that's a lot of eyeballs required to get through all of those. We have a team of panelists that help with things, and we're very fortunate. My colleague Kate and I actually get to go to festivals as well to actually watch films in cinema, which is
absolute
primo to be able to do that.
Oh, so you're the Kates as well.
Yes.
Okay, so I just had a mind-boggling moment that you're not just watching, so not all the films that people submit to you make it into the festival. You actually curate the list. That makes sense. But, like, I was like, oh, well, when you read the number 267 films, you just go, well, you got submitted 267 films, so you put them in. But you've watched over 4,000.
I didn't personally, but, yes, there's a lot to get through. Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay, all right. I'm catching up with the
– that
is
more
a
sense
lot
now.
Of work. And, like, no, that's more than a full-time job's worth of just, like, watching movies.
Absolutely. And it's very competitive. Like, you know, these really are the cream of the crop, to say.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as you were saying, it's great to be able to get back to the cinema, but that's not always something that everyone's able to do. Mm. And it's not just Melbourne in the city that's getting screenings, though, as a part of MIFF this year, because you've got stuff for our regional pals as well as some options online. How are there other ways in which people can access the program?
Well, that's the whole reason. We were pretty committed at MIFF to continue MIFF Play. For that very reason, like you say, it's really great that we can get back to cinemas, but not everybody can do that for a variety of reasons, whether it's location-based but also able-bodied-based or any other number of, like, a myriad of reasons as to why you can't get to the cinema. So it was really important to us, and we're really fortunate to have a benefactor that helps support us in putting MIFF Play on, because there's a cost to that. And we're really happy with the number of films that we've been able to put together for people to go online. So if you are looking at the program online, if you're on our website, www.mif.com.au, you'll see there's a section for MIF Play, which is our online platform, and that's available Australia-wide.
So is that happening at the same time as the festival?
It actually starts on the 18th, okay. So about 4 days before the end of the physical festival, and then it runs through to the following Thursday. So from the 18th to the 24th, I think it is.
I think what I love about that is if you're accessing it that way via MIF Play, it gives you this chance to actually see all the buzz and see all the excitement that everyone's been talking about during the festival, so you still get to be a part of that.
And also if you're interested in one of the in-person films as well and you just missed out, whether it be because timing didn't work out or maybe you caught COVID because it's going around again.
Or you were
again.
At another film. You
exactly.
can't see it all.
Exactly.
You can jump online and check it out. That's really cool. Well done on that. That's brilliant.
Absolutely. And you'll be happy to know, Dean, that the shorts will be available online. That's a thing we do every year. So.
Love that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Sounds like a great option for date night. Yes.
Absolutely. Grab the popcorn, make it at home. Well, there's so much on offer, as we said, with 269 films ready for your viewing pleasure this Melbourne International Film Festival, and you don't want to miss out. Tickets to the opening and closing gala night, including all the films, are on offer on sale right now. So what are you waiting for? Head to mif.com.au and explore the fantastic program.
Kate, thank you so much for joining us on Joe Brecky this morning. It's been so educational as well as very inspirational to go and check out some of those films.
I'm so glad I could help. Thank you so much. It's been really fun.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.